This is the Trinity College Podcast. I'm John Keller. Well, today I have my colleague. She is a professor. She is the program director for the Business Organization Leadership, and she teaches in both the day program, and she oversees the Quest program, and she does the online. She is a busy person, but she is alumni of our college, and she's a speaker, she's a writer, she's a leadership coaching consultant. She served for 10 years as a spiritual journey pastor at Bay Life Church in Brandon, Florida for years, and she has leads multiple women groups and discipleship and development, and she has, I'm reading your whole thing here, this thing goes on forever. It's like, what haven't you done? She leads women's cohorts and serves as the chief operating officer of the Bonhoeffer Project, which we've got to talk about that today.
Oh, we can.
And you have podcasts. So getting you here today was like a little bit of work because you're such a busy person. But she's a program director for the Business and Organization Leadership Department, and she's a professor, and she disciples and teaches our young people leadership through example, by loving on them, by sometimes being a mom, quite honestly.
Sometimes
being a mom, because they tell me that, and which is fantastic because nobody cares what you have to say until they know you. That you care.
Correct.
But you definitely have a passion for helping people grow more like Christ, and that's why you're the perfect fit, even though we can add a few more things, like you're an alumni and you graduated from the Quest program and you want to get your master's at Regent, but we know you want to help others grow in their relationship with Christ, and your love for Christ just comes through in everything that you do. And again, I'm reading a small smidgen of your of the things that you've accomplished and you've done. But you're also married.
And you have 47 years coming up.
Man, so the renewal of 50 years starts all over again. So 47 years, that's fantastic. And what about family, other family?
So I have a son. He's a CPA, 40 in his 40s now, and he's married. They've been married over 20 years. And
so you look old enough to do all that.
I know. I have a great-grandchild and a great-granddaughter and another on the way. So I'm excited about that. I have a daughter who is a hairdresser, keeps me looking grand.
That's why you don't look your age. That's why I don't.
So I said to her, when can I go gray? And she said, not as long as I'm doing hair, Mom. So she is with a guy that she's been with for about 4 years now, and just loving life, and has a stepdaughter, and that's pretty much, we have a small nucleus family. My husband's mom is still living, so I got that.
Wow.
I have three siblings, a brother who's right next to me, and then a couple of younger sisters, and so, but they live off. Nobody lives here but us, so it's okay. just kind of us, so.
Well, I really appreciate you being here today and being on this. And it's a great way for people to learn about who you are. Because, you know, if you're going to go to college, if you're thinking about going to college, what the people don't often think about are the things that matter the most. And that who are going to be my mentors, who are going to be my professors. And one of the things that I think is one of our unique values is that students probably can text you.
They can. They all have my number.
That does not happen at a university with 300 people in a classroom, freshman classroom, and they have a teacher assistant teaching the class, not even a professor. But we know that it's the personal touch, the connection. Every one of your students, whenever I talk to them, interview them, say the same exact thing, that you're working in their lives, and that's what makes this so valuable. And I think when we look at these students that come into the program right now, the world has been crazy. Mm-hmm. And so it really takes real leadership. It takes real authentic leadership, real authentic faith in Jesus Christ, and people who've been through stuff. Yeah. You don't get married 47 years and not been through stuff.
You know, and I work at the church for 20 and all those kind of things. But I think the key is that I actually really care about my students, and they know that. And so it's that authentic leadership that they look for in all of us, and they need that. Many of them come out of settings where maybe they didn't have an authentic leader in their lives in one capacity or another. And so they're looking for that. And especially because I teach leadership, If I can't be authentic, they're not going to learn. They're just not going to learn. And so my heartbeat is for discipleship, to help people along their spiritual journey, and leadership is a part of that. So I really enjoy watching my students go from the time they come in the door and seeing how they change as they go out the door graduation. It's amazing. I
love it. I just interviewed Corey Trahan and just love that guy.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, my goodness. He's just doing so amazing things. You just said something so important about leadership that some of them don't, maybe didn't have that example they needed. You know, something just struck me. It just like hit me as we're sitting here. Same Holy Spirit, right? So we're called by Christ to go make disciples. Mm-hmm. What does that require? It requires a leader.
Yeah, it requires a leader. It requires time. It requires letting them into your life. Just this last weekend, we had a business org leadership dinner at my house. My house is not huge, but there were 25 of us there.
Really?
We had, I won't tell you how much they ate, but there was a lot of food consumed with all of these students.
That's awesome.
Played cornhole, watched basketball game together, just did life together. And that's, they need that. They need to see normalcy in life. They need to understand that their professors are people too. Changes the dynamic of the relationship in the classroom. So I try to do that at least once a semester with them.
Sure.
And then they just need to know that they've got somebody that they can say, hey, can I talk to you? I get texts. I have rules, though. I do have rules.
Yeah, because you have to go to bed at night.
That's correct. I need my beauty sleep. And I said, you don't want to know how ugly I can be when I don't get that beauty sleep. So my rules are, you may text or call me between 8 a.m. and 10 p.m. And that's it.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, I have a thing on my phone that blocks everything at a certain time. Mm. The only persons who can call me are the phone numbers I save that can do that. Well, that's a great testimony, you know, and certainly God has, you know, put you in amazing, but you did the work. You know, people always say, oh, look at the position they have. No, it took a lot to get there.
A
so
lot.
Let's start with, how did you get here? Because you went to, I didn't finish my degree until I was 50, so.
I didn't start till I was 50.
Okay, so.
So I had gotten
a job. So 50's a new 20.
Right, 50's a new 20. So I had gotten a job. I've been working at the church for almost 10 years, and through a series of events, got put in charge of women's ministry, which I was like, oh, man, I don't know if I can do this, but I needed to preach, and I realized I didn't know enough about how to rightly divide the word to be able to do that well. So I decided that I'd come to college. Found Trinity. A couple of my coworkers had been alumni of Trinity, so I came up and started the Quest program. Came every Saturday for a little better than 2 years. And
that's right. We used to have Saturday.
It was Saturdays the whole time I was going. Got my degree in Christian ministries, then felt like I could mildly preach. And then what you realize when you get a 4-year Christian ministries degree is how much you really don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And how
completely.
Much more there is, right? Took a year off and then decided to, I had to take an elective class, took an organizational behavior class, loved it. And so that professor had just finished his doctorate at Regent University and he just encouraged me to go on. And I said, oh, I don't think I can do that. I'm 50 by now. And he said, no, you got to go. So I went back a couple years, got my master's, just kicked it, got my master's in org leadership. And before I was done with my graduation ceremony, I was done with my coursework, but not, I hadn't actually graduated. They hired me to do adjunct work here for the Quest program.
Is that Dr. Cox?
No, that was actually Shannon Hogan.
Oh, Shannon, right.
So he convinced, it was right as he was leaving, he had taken another job, and he convinced Dr. Cox to hire me in as an adjunct, and then I worked adjunct for the next semester, and then they offered me the job as the department chair, and so here I landed, and I said, well, Lord, this is going to have to be you, because I've done a whole lot of things. I had a career in retail. I had a career in business and corporate America for a while. I've taught sewing all over the world. I've done like all these crazy kind of things, but Every one of them came together to prepare me for the place that I stand now. And so I consider it a high privilege to be able to stand in front of these students and help them understand how to lead through scriptural principles. So we incorporate the Bible into everything that we do in our communications classes. We're learning business principles, but we're learning them through the work of the Holy Spirit. So
that's really fantastic. I've sat in a few of your classes before. I'm part of one day you volunteered to come help. But you've put together quite a good team. Your other adjuncts, these are quality people. I mean,
they are quality.
I mean,
people.
Really great. You know, my office is across from one of the classrooms, and sometimes I'm in intense work, and the doors are open because and I wanted to, you know, the airflow. And I hear them teach, I hear them interacting with the students, and I thought, man, these professors really, really get it. And you've got some great professors, adjunct professors working for you and your team.
I don't hire any adjuncts that don't have a passion for those students because I think that has to be your first thing. Anybody can teach theory. That's not a hard thing. The hard thing is helping them figure out how to apply that theory to life.
And that's so always it.
That's a critical piece. And the adjuncts that I have hired all can do that. And all have a heartbeat just to see these students succeed. I'm so excited. I've talked to several of my former students this last week because we're going to meet up and just talk through some things. But they're working. One is getting ready to graduate with his master's in org leadership. Another one is working as two of them are working at a Christian school. As coaches, and one of them, Corey, that you were talking about, just got hired to work as a coach at a Christian school here in the area. So I'm just so proud of those students. We have one that is program director. She graduated a couple of years ago, program director for Boys and Girls Club over in Orlando.
Isn't that amazing?
Just moving and shaking, but bringing the concepts and the principles and the things they learned about Christ and about business in the Christian world, they're bringing them into the places that they are and just doing good.
That is great testimony to this program. This, I will tell you that there's a lot of people applying for this program because I see the numbers coming in. A lot of athletes are really interested. And there's several different tracks they can go if they're never been to college at all and they want to get a Bachelor of Arts in this organizational leadership. They have different concentrations.
Right. So they can have a leadership concentration, which focuses strictly on leadership that they would use either in corporate America or really anywhere, but specifically focused for what they're going to need to be effective in organizations, whether it's a nonprofit or for-profit. They can get a sport leadership concentration.
Very popular
which
one.
We have a number of classes that they do, and we're continuing to build and improve that program, and so they can step in and come away with a sport leadership, which prepares them then to coach, prepares them to lead in that capacity, maybe in a high school. Then we have a church management. A lot of churches have executive pastors or pastors who lead in that capacity who've not really ever taken leadership courses. So they get a lot of leadership, and then they also get some extra in their biblical training as well. And all of our students train in biblical training, of course, but
a double major in Bible and theology.
So it works out really well that we have those options for them so that they can kind of step into that niche. Many of the courses are the same, but then each one of those has about five classes that are specific to that concentration to give them that opportunity. And we try to bring in subject matter experts to speak occasionally so that they can be exposed to some different things. We're getting ready actually to start a new student group called LEAD, Inspire, Influence, and we're going to begin to just have lunchtime discussions over some new materials that we come up with, and there's lots of great content, articles, all those things that I can't fit into a classroom setting because there's just not time.
You know, the interaction is extremely important. I noticed something that I'm kind of Now, I have a master's degree and I have a second concentration, went back to school. And when I was doing the second concentration in strategic communications, I never realized how important leadership courses actually were until I had to take one. Mm-hmm. And then I struggled because I didn't know, I had never studied leadership. Yeah. Somehow I've always college, but I never studied leadership itself.
Most people don't.
And when I started studying it, I realized, first of all, I was fascinated because I have a counseling psychology background, my undergraduate. But when I started studying it, I started understanding the mindset of these leaders mm-hmm. and the different styles of leadership.
Right.
And when I started to realize what decentralized command was, what right. that is versus an authoritarian leader and all these right. different people throughout right. history, I stopped going to school and started reading all this to get caught up on it. And I've been really amazed how it's benefited me personally yeah. by studying leadership.
Yeah.
And it just never, ever, I thought I had it all figured out in my 50s. And I realized there's a lot to learn here.
There's a lot to learn.
Big benefit if you apply yeah. leadership principles. My favorite one recently was something I never really gave a thought to was Churchill. I was reading about Churchill and I found that he had a speech impediment.
Yes.
And the reason why he was such a great speaker was he had to think about every word he said in his speech to make sure he wouldn't mess it up because he had a problem with the extra ligament in his tongue.
Right.
He took something that was a disability mm-hmm. and made it something strong. Mm-hmm. Well, I started applying that to my job here, and mm-hmm. how can I take something that seems like it's something against us that we're a small college, yeah. and I started capitalizing the fact that we're a small college, and then realizing there's so many big benefits that we're a small college that there's certain things we can do here that nobody else can do,
right.
and because we are a smaller school, that we have that ability to be an intimate family where everybody knows each other and yeah. can be there for each other. There's so many multiple values to that, yeah. and especially students that are living in the crazy world that we're in right now, the things that are going on, it's so good to have the family environment.
Well, and we talk about those things specifically in the managing ethics class. We have ethics principles that we do. We have a textbook that we use, but every single class begins with a current events discussion.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Where we talk about the hard things. We talked about last year during all the
riots.
The Black Lives Matter piece. And we have a very diverse student body, especially in the business courses.
Sure.
And so we had some really strong conversations. But I'm a pretty strong leader, so I know how to stop down when it gets out of hand. But it helped them to figure out. I gave them a space to say the things that they needed to say, and it gave them an opportunity to begin to think about how Jesus would have them think about these things, because Facebook tells them how to think. Well, they don't do Facebook. Sorry. I say that like students do Facebook, but they don't.
No, they only have it to spy on us.
They do TikTok and they do
sure.
right, all those other things. But that tells them how to think. And when we begin to ask those questions about, why do you think that way? Well, now we've got to think. And I told them, if I don't teach you anything else while you're here, I want to teach you to think for yourself. And not go with groupthink. We spend a lot of time learning about groupthink and how dangerous that can be. And
then they begin to see
it.
Jordan Peterson talks a lot about that in his book, 12 Rules for Life. He brings up a whole, he gets a lot of flack. He's not popular with certain mindsets.
Yeah.
But, you know, the diversity is really here. I know it's working. You started a group with Corey mm-hmm. Trahan last year called, mm-hmm. you were the faculty sponsor for the mm-hmm. Together group.
Yep.
Which is a group that celebrates our diversity and our each other's heritage.
Yep.
And, you know, and it's funny because when you start to do that, when you start giving, something I observe, when you start giving other people a voice to be heard, mm-hmm. then you also get an audience.
Yeah.
And that's a big benefit. So when you start listening to the other, and I hate to use the word the other side, because we shouldn't have a side. We should all be in Christ and love each other and recognize we're all made in the image of God. Male and female, made in the image of God, and we're all equal heirs. And it's something that's not talked about a lot, but we need to really capitalize on that.
Sometimes it's not even that it's not talked about. It's that people don't know what to say. They don't want to offend,
so they
don't say anything, right?
Yeah,
and
then that's a problem.
And then that creates a different feeling from the people who feel like they're not seen or heard, feel like they don't have a voice. And so we created that group so that we could celebrate our diversity, because we are a diverse student body, and sure, that's a very positive thing. But you have to learn. Many of these young people have come in from a place that maybe wasn't so diverse. So we got to learn how to live together, which is part of development and training for being a part of a team, for being in a corporate organization. You've got to learn how to deal with people who aren't like you. And it is not always just the color of your skin. It's quite often the mindset that you think with, or even the personality that you bring in. Sure. People have to learn how to deal with my strong personality, right?
That's yes, just how true. It is. I think we might be a birds of the same feather on that one.
Maybe.
I think we're not unspoken about things. No, yeah. I do see the benefit though. Since I think we turned a big corner on this campus. And an interesting thing is, I don't think anyone's, since I've been here, has ever been malicious about not trying to give someone a voice.
No.
But I think they've bent over backwards, quite honestly, trying to understand.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was at a staff retreat like 4 years ago, and Dr. Williams was a speaker, and she's the president of SPC, St. Mm-hmm. Pete College. And she's a Black woman, and she's a graduate of Clearwater Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's a Christian woman, but she's a leader of this large mm-hmm. campus, this large school in St. Pete, in Clearwater, you know, St. Pete College. And her opening statement to us was, "Wow, that's a lot of white people." And it was really funny because I said, "Yeah, it is." And glad to say we're not like that now.
We've had people retire
and move on, and now I think the school's got a good representation of what mm-hmm. it's supposed to look like. And we still hired the best people. I think that's important to still hire the people that are right for the job.
Yep.
But, you know, we've added some people on that are just amazing leaders on this campus. Corey mm-hmm. Is a graduate. Well, we have another Corey who works in financial aid, who is a fantastic leader. And Kenyatta, just these guys are just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And they have such good attitudes. I get convicted. You know, looking at the big picture, I think we've come a long way with that.
Yeah,
and so I appreciate that a lot. I know the school is doing much better with that area and celebrating the diversity. And in my job, I get beat up a little bit sometimes, but I'm getting kind of used to it.
Yeah.
But we're going to keep pushing forward because Jesus, you know, I think there's no greater diverse organization in the world than the church
mm-hmm.
because you've got people of every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every culture. You know, I can go to China right now and meet a man and have fellowship with a brother in Christ. I can go to Afghanistan and meet some people that, you know.
I don't know if I go to those two places right
Well,
now.
I hear you. But I can have fellowship with a brother or sister in faith. You know, I can go anywhere in the world and have fellowship. And that's the great diversity of the church.
Yeah.
And then we're all unified and one in Christ. Yeah. And that's a great thing. Well, a couple things to ask you about. So you've not been, how many years now are you in this program? You've been the director of the program.
I'm finishing up my third year.
Okay. So mm-hmm. you've got, so what is the job outlook for students? You've already given us a little inkling that your students are getting great jobs out of the gate, which is awesome.
Yep.
And I think a little bit of it has to do with the fact that because we're a Bible college, you double major in Bible theology and that. So that's a discipline in itself.
It is a discipline. And I think a lot of it has to do with helping our students build confidence. I think that's a big difference that I see in our students and students from other organizations, other colleges.
Good observation.
Is that we are able to, because we are a small college, because we have that family style relationship, and obviously they're going to be closer to some professors and some staffers than they are others, just personality wise and those kind of things. But we are able to really encourage them in their faith, encourage them in their skills and abilities, and provide them with some opportunities to practice. We've got some good in the business or leadership department. We require in their senior year 2 internships, and I don't allow them to do internships in the same place twice because I want them to be exposed to different kinds of things. So we are always looking at the next places to do internships for them, and we've had some really quality quality opportunities for these students. So I think that helps. That gets them out there.
What does that internship look like? So they're going to be a senior when they do that,
they got to be a senior. So they do one in the fall semester. And I do let them do it in the summer while they're home, because just because I want them to be able to focus on schoolwork if they want.
But that's a 3-credit-hour course.
It is a three. No, they don't get credit for that. They don't have credit for those.
One of those does, though. Mm-hmm, some of those practice. Mm-hmm. Is there a practicum?
There is a practicum that comes at the end. We have concepts and theories of managerial leadership that they have to do this massive paper at the end, and they whine a lot, but then they find out how much they really have learned while they've been here. But these internships are part of that.
Sure.
And so they are required to do 90 hours of internship
work.
Wow,
that's a lot.
It's a lot. But realistically, if they're doing it during the summer, it's not a lot. It's 2 or 3 weeks in a place, or several hours a week in a place. But they are required to step in and kind of shadow a leader within the organization, or sometimes in multiple areas. We had one student last semester that worked in multiple areas in the same organization just to get an overall view of what was happening there. So it depends. I let them kind of guide that. I guide them in it, but I let them choose what they want to do, because if they're interested in it, they're going to be more successful at it. But they come back telling me all the things they've learned. They have to weekly send us an intern report so that we can know what they're doing. They have a supervisor. There's some pretty strict. We have forms that they have to fill
sure.
out. So it's a really quality internship. That can last either the whole semester if they want to just do a few hours, or they can do it in a concentrated fashion. So, but I think that's a valuable piece of what we do.
It's interesting how I've watched this over the last few years. It's the best it's ever been, in my opinion, for what that's worth. But I watched at the scholarship chapel, mm-hmm. and I looked over, and there's your whole department, mm-hmm. and they all were dressed nice, and they weren't. Mm-hmm. They were engaged, mm-hmm. and there was a bit of pride. See, we never like to use the word pride, right? But there was a good holy pride, mm-hmm. in that group that day. And I watched them, and they're holding their head up high, and I think. That you said them building confidence is so important. I think it's kind of the key.
Yeah, it is the key. And we're intentional to help them understand that they're part of something bigger than just them.
And the value of themselves.
And the value of you as part of the team, and how your actions and attitudes affect me, and how my actions and attitudes affect you. And so I don't think many of our students, coming in freshmen, most of them have never been put in the position to really understand that. And so once they begin to understand that, it's like a flip. It's like a switch has been switched on, and they just become excited, and they become passionate about what they do, and they start really becoming leaders. Most freshmen come in, they don't think they're leaders.
It's interesting you say that,
but I know
it's true. It's absolutely true.
And so my job in the freshman year is to help them understand that they're leaders in everything that they do. And so it affects our basketball team. It affects the churches that they attend, because they now begin to step up and say, okay, I can do that. I can lead in this area. And so I love watching that transformation that happens in the freshman year. And then when they get to the sophomore year, now they're ready to jump in and be. Several of these students are stepping into leadership in Student Government Association this year, which is something that they have not done so much in the past.
Sure.
And so we're beginning to really get that momentum. I think they're looking at some different ways that they can lead up in classes, on the basketball team, in student government, those kind of things. So
I was really impressed with something that some of these young guys did when they went to the NIT, mm-hmm. Up in New York. They went and competed in the basketball game. It had nothing to do with them competing in the basketball game. It was that they were at a restaurant, the story as I understand it, and they got up and prayed. Mm-hmm. And the restaurant got up and prayed with them, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. But there was a young kid there, and he was like, who are you guys? And he goes, I play basketball too. And he was like a middle schooler or something. And he goes, well, if you could come to my game, you know, and they went and they cheered that guy on. And the whole school went crazy there. And then the mom came to their games and brought them all sorts of goodies and food. But I think the point was they took leadership in recognizing the value of that young man. And him. They impacted his life forever. That the Tigers came to his middle school, the entire team on the bus, and rolled into the school and cheered very loudly for him and his team. And changed their lives. They will never forget that. And that is leadership. That only comes from love for your fellow human being. Yeah. And when I heard that story, it just like, I heard it get, told several times by different people. Yeah. And every time I hear it, I just smile because that is what a leader does.
And our students are quality students. They want to make a difference in the world.
Well, that's I'm kind of tired of hearing people bash Gen Z, like this generation. Yeah. I go, these guys, it's, first of all, they've only known war. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. My son, I have a son who's 32, he's been in combat, and they've only known war. And now they've had this global pandemic that took their relatives, they took their loved ones. We've seen a lot of people. I mean, I think if you knew the number, it's pretty horrible. We downplay the number, but I personally know a lot of people that passed away from COVID that were young. They weren't old, people my age, and assuming that 57 is not old. Mm-hmm. But these young people have endured through that, kept going to school, kept working their jobs, wearing a mask in class, staying social distance. I mean, all the things they had to do, they did it.
Yeah.
And they did it. I'm really proud of them. And and our school is maintained. Mm-hmm. We did not go down 30-40% like some of these schools did, like most schools did. Yeah. And I think it's the students that themselves, their leadership.
Yeah, our students are phenomenal, and they engage one another. We talked about this the other day. Is it okay if we have cliques? I said, it's okay if you have cliques if you let somebody in. Yeah. But if you keep people out, then that's not okay. So we talked about how that works together. And,
sure.
And they're just such caring humans. And they understand the value of being human. We talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
And we make sure that they understand that. And so they pull together. They work together when the time is necessary. Some of my favorite times are like today. I had lunch. I went and just sat down, and here they come. All these students coming around.
Yeah,
and
it's the best thing you can do is have lunch in the cafeteria.
We just have lunch, and we hang out. We're having lunch with Perkins today. Yep, come on. So we just sat down,
yeah,
and they're coming up all over the place. And we just talk about the craziest things. But mom's not here, so sometimes they got to have a mom opinion. So that kind of works out. I said, as long as they don't call me grandma, we'll be all right.
when I look at the school, and we get such a, there's so many different characters. I call them quality characters.
They are characters.
We have some quality characters, and some of them are just so funny.
They're
funny. But I mean, when I look at what's going on in the world, and these guys still have joy. They are still, and a lot of people are very cynical today. And I see that cynicism kind of melt away here in the last few years, as it's in your program specifically. That cynicism has kind of melted away a little bit.
We laugh a lot. We like to have fun.
Yeah, that's been a really good change. Uh-huh. They know they belong here.
Yeah, they do. And it's hard for them. They have grown up being the Facebook/Twitter generation.
Sure.
So they don't know anything besides this electronic world, and their brains have changed. The studies all say that their brain makeup has changed. So we have, I think, done a pretty effective job at learning to teach in a way to teach to the brain change.
That's right? A good
because
point.
It's different. It's very different than it would have been even when I was in school 15 years ago,
sure.
Right? It's a different world and a different, because they are used to the world in 4-second images.
So true. Well, you've experience in a lot of different areas, and I always like to say, experience, you can never, there's one thing you can't buy in life. You can buy an education, but you can't buy experience.
Nope.
And the only way, in fact, what's the joke? If you someone has experience and the person has money, chances are the person that had the money will end up with the experience.
Yeah.
And the person that has the experience will end up with the money. Because if you never negotiated a contract and you're at a disadvantage, which, you know, I've done that a lot, and I know that's true.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you bring some experience, you have an organization you're a part of
that
I know you're very passionate about. And tell us about the Bonhoeffer Project. Now, you've been with them for a while, but now you've moved to a different position.
I have.
So, as a chief operating officer. So, there's a lot of responsibilities you have going on.
Yeah.
But I will say, you're not unique in one sense. I watch all our professors are involved in many different things. Mm-hmm. I think that's what makes them so unique. We have, you know, Dr. Joe is the pastor of a church.
Yeah.
You know, so our ministry pastor, campus pastor, has a church. He operates a church, and he's always on this campus. He's always working. And I know that, you know, people like Leslie Rewald is involved in many different things. You know, she's a fantastic professor, kind of like you. She loves her students. They love her.
Yeah.
And she impacts their lives. But tell us about how does the Bonhoeffer Project, what is that about, and why are you involved in it, and what's so special about it?
Well, so I got involved with the Bonhoeffer Project about 5 years ago, went on staff with them part-time about 4 years ago, a little bit bigger part-time about the same time I came here. We are an organization that turns leaders into disciple makers. So we train leaders to create a plan, a process, if you will, of how they can set up a discipleship plan process in their context, because every context is different. We target church leaders, but it's not always church leaders.
Sure.
There's plenty of lay leaders that are doing discipleship out there. We understand that Jesus left us that model that says, I need you to go and make disciples.
See, it's so, right? So true.
That's what we do. That's what I do in my classes. I'm a leadership discipler is basically what I am. I'm teaching and training, but we teach them about the gospel, have them struggle with the gospel that they believe, because the Americanized gospel is not always quite the gospel that Jesus taught.
Boy, you're not kidding me.
And so we start there. We start upstream. We bring it down into the place of the why. This is why we do it. Then we look at the what. What is a disciple? Because if you don't have a definition for that, you don't have a firm target, it's going to be like a shotgun blast all over the place. And then we get to the how. Most people want to start at the what and the how, but they don't go back up and look at the why. And we take people up there. So we work a 10-month cohort process where we're working with leaders. We meet either in person or online once a month, and we bring them through that. We have folks in about 26 states right now. Alumni about 1,200, and we are now in 9 countries. And I just got a text before I walked in here, are we ready to go into Guatemala? And I said,
wow.
Okay. So, and we're in 9 countries. When I say that, we're in northern India, where there's persecution. We're in Cameroon, where there's a civil war happening. We're in Russia, where we all know what's going on in Russia. So, we have people in all of those areas that are training up leaders to be disciple makers in whatever their context, and teaching them how to stand for what Christ has taught us to do, men and women. So I get to lead an amazing team. Our team is about, I think we're up to about 30 now between our national leadership team and our regional reps and our international reps.
Global impact.
So it's a lot of work. I have a great team that works with me so that I can stay working here and do that, delegate to them.
Leadership is training,
right?
Someone up to take your job.
That's it. I'm a queen delegator, which is why it works that I can do both of these, because I can delegate all this stuff if I need to. So,
well, I'm going to put the link to the Bonhoeffer Project, which is the word the, mm-hmm. Bonhoeffer, Bonhoeffer project.com, but I'll put that link on your faculty bio page.
Great.
So it should be there in a day or so.
Yeah, if you have questions and you put in to receive information, that actually comes to me.
Oh.
And so I'm the person, I'm the first line of contact when somebody requests information.
So someone wanted to so someone could contact you from your faculty page. Your email's on there. We're accessible.
Yeah. Give them a call and have that conversation with them. But we know that discipleship is important, and we know that way too many churches and organizations are not engaging in true Christ-like discipleship. So.
I have a favorite question, and it's a good question. And then someone asked me this question a long time ago, and it's affected me. And it's always it's affected everything I've ever done. And I love to ask the question, who are the people that marked you? Because the Bible says iron sharpens iron. Mm-hmm. You've had some people in your life you wouldn't get where you are, be the leader you are, the mom you are. You wouldn't have any of that if you didn't have someone. Usually it's more than one person.
Yes.
So who are some of the people that marked you? And I know you were a student here, so someone at Trinity made an impact. And
so other than my family, obviously my family created in me that. But I had a fourth grade teacher, Agnes Pietrantozzi, Pietrantozzi. I learned to spell it in the first week of the fourth grade.
That's great.
Very tall, red-headed, single lady who loved her students and taught me the love for learning.
Wow.
And so I'm a lifelong learner. I may not be working toward a degree all the time, but I am always learning. I read a book a week. I just love to learn. So Ms. Pietrantozzi was huge in that space.
Where was that at?
That was in Bluefield, West Virginia. That's where I was.
See, we know your accent.
Preston Street School, Bluefield, West Virginia, which is now a halfway house for drug addicts. So. That's what my school is now. But later on in my life, in my ministry career, my friend John Weaver, he was a life groups pastor and then a campus pastor, and right now is working at a Livingstone Academy teaching special needs kids, which is amazing.
Awesome.
He teaches kids with autism. And so he challenged me. He's a great cattle prod for me because he challenges me to do the things that he knows that God is calling me to do and that I know God is calling me to do. He challenged me to come to Trinity and then encouraged and supported me. He supported me a lot during my mom's passing, and that was a hard piece for me. All happened at the same time. And so he's been a big influencer in my life. Here, Shannon Hogan was the professor tapped me. I really enjoyed his class, and he just saw something in me and encouraged me to go for it. In my Christian ministry studies, George McBurney Gray, he passed a couple of years ago, but he was an older gentleman and did our pastoral classes, and I just loved him. He just exuded Christ all over the place.
Isn't that fantastic?
It is fantastic. And then most recently, Bill Hull, who started the Bonhoeffer Project and wrote the book, The Conversion and Discipleship, You Can't Have One Without the Other, which changed my life. And then there's a couple of old dead guys. That was my next question. Yeah.
Who's some people that maybe you never met? But
the old dead guys.
And Howard Hendricks' book, Disciple, Iron Sharpened Iron, who marks you, he talks about the people that are the distance mentors, people you'll never meet inside of glory.
So A.W. Tozer,
there you go.
I'm here to tell you the pursuit of God changed my life. C.S. Lewis.
Sure.
When I started reading Lewis and read Mere Christianity, I'm like, okay, this is a different level of spirituality. Ruth Haley Barton writes a lot of books. She writes one that I use in my capstone course, Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership, because she reminds us that our leadership has as much to do with our soul as it does with our knowledge.
Oh, absolutely.
And so those are some of the ones. Wayne Cordero is a pastor down in Hawaii, and he wrote a book called The Dream Releaser. And it challenged me and changed me because he basically says, you in somebody else's life, you can either be a dream releaser or a dream killer. You get to choose.
Yeah.
And so after I read that, I'm like, I got to be a dream releaser. I can't be a dream killer. So I have spent the rest of my career trying to help people figure out who God created them to be, because the enemy and the world lies to you about who God created you to be.
That's so true.
So I help them find their identity in Christ. I help them figure out what their purpose is, what God has called them to do, and then I encourage them to go do it.
Now, it's interesting. All these things are so fascinating. I think we could go on a long time and talk about this today. When we had the staff retreat, I talked about what's your brand, and it was the orange cone. Mm-hmm. And I told you about my friends that put an orange cone in the driveway of their house for Thanksgiving so that my child, who was in a wheelchair, has a lane to get to their front door. Because there's no way to get to their front door if you didn't make a lane for them. Mm-hmm. And some people put the orange cone in front of people to block them, and some people put the orange cone there to make a lane. Mm-hmm. And it's the same idea. So I'm going to have to check that book out.
Yeah, my brand is a bird.
Yeah, I love that.
In an empty bird cage.
I love that.
Because he talks about that. There's a story in there, and I'll let you read it, because he does a better job of telling it than I do. But birds aren't meant to be caged.
That's right.
Birds are meant to fly free. And so I get to choose whether I want to help the bird fly free or whether I want to hold it in the cage and watch it and admire it.
You know, God the Father, talk about free will. It's probably way higher thinking here in this subject we're talking about. But I do know that God is, we're made in God's image. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things is that God is a intelligent creator. Mm-hmm. He's an imaginative, intelligent creator. Yeah. And when I realized that one day, I realized that an accountant, that God's called someone to be an accountant, is an imaginative creator. How else would you figure out how to figure out finances and budgets and all these things? They're using the imagination God gave them to create something out of nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and so now we know, you know, we're created beings, but that creativity, that way God wired us to be whatever we're called to do, we have to subdue and fill the earth. And of course, in the New Testament, we make disciples, right? That's what we're called to be as leaders. But I love that. I'm going to have to check that book out now and read that on my
dream
list.
Releaser.
Yeah, I'm about 40 books in a year myself.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
This one's a really short book. Like, you can read it probably in an hour and a half, 2 hours. It's a really short book, but it was so powerful because it helped me to understand that I have, by virtue of the fact that somebody has given me that power in their life, I have that power.
Yeah.
To be able to release their dreams or to kill their dreams by telling them you can't, or all the negatives that they hear all over the place. And I want to release the dreams, and that's what works for me here. That's why the students know I love them, because I help them move toward their dream. God's given each one of them a dream. They all think it's one thing. I typically see that it might
basketball.
Not be.
I'm going to be the next LeBron. Yeah. They always think that.
And so I know.
I hope that one of them is one day, by the way.
I hope so, too.
One of them makes it.
I would love that. But here's what I tell them. I'm going to help you work your plan B and figure out what your plan B is, because you're only one injury away from plan A being done. And so I want you to have plan B as the backup. I hope you get plan A. I'm praying that God will let you get plan A. But if you don't, you need to have plan B so that you aren't devastated, because some of those guys that have played ball for and then they get hurt, they don't know what to do with life.
And they're angry at God.
Yeah. So let's figure this out so that you say, oh, well, maybe that wasn't God for me. And we've seen a couple of them make some choices that they thought this was their dream, and then they realize, whoa, this was really my dream.
Yeah, so. I love that. Well, that's so good. Cindy, it's always good to talk to you. I so appreciate the entire department that you head up, and all your professors are fantastic. The students are really growing. You brought some, I hate to say it, but you just brought some, like, motherly type of love to that department, so I don't mean it in a sexist way at all,
but
you just brought,
everybody needs a good mom.
Yeah, well, there's a scripture in the Bible in Psalms, and I go to it a lot. I worked 4 years for Teen Challenge, so that's where I kept this, this comes from, but though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord takes me up. Mm-hmm. And you definitely are one of those people that so many students didn't have a mom, didn't have a dad that raised them right. And if it's Gen Z, it's about 70%, right?
Yeah, sadly.
So sadly, somebody's missing in action. Mm-hmm. And they could be chemically addicted.
Yeah,
they could
it's
be
all
kind passed
of
away.
It's all kind
it could
of
be, that's the truth, And so that alone, that one thing you – do, that we could all do, is to take people up that God and set them free, mm-hmm. get them out of the cage of that despair and set them free and loose on the world. And they'll do some great stuff, because we've watched some students do some pretty amazing stuff in the last 90 years on this campus, yeah. right? So, but it's really great to see that. And I just love this whole mindset that you have of training them up to be the leaders of God. It's called them to lead where God has called them to lead. Yeah. You know, we always make this brand claim. God calls, we equip, and you advance. And it sounds great, mm-hmm. but it actually has to happen.
It has to happen.
And it doesn't happen by, you know, saying a prayer. It's actually a lot of work involved.
Well, Ephesians 4 tells us it's our job to equip.
Yeah.
It's our job as leaders to equip others to lead. And so there's a real, and I tell them, I want you to go out and I want you to equip somebody else to lead. I want you to do what you see me doing. And they do. And so that's exciting. I love it when I see my students leading, and then we have other students that come in referred by one of those students who's leading. Right? So I'm like, okay, Lord, full circle, got it. Now we're into the third generation of discipleship. So.
You know, there's an interesting model here in this campus with the student government. Mm-hmm. And every year I was like, who's going to be the student president, next mm-hmm. student government president? Like, mm-hmm. I worry, like, silly in my brain. And then I'll see some kid run for it. I'm like, oh, can he do it? And then they kill it. Then they do an amazing job, and they step up and blow me away. And I'm like, what was I worried about? And I see that happening over and over again. And we are so blessed, both to be colleagues working to work for the Lord. I always say I work Colossians 3:23. I work for the Lord, and he happens to have me here. But I work for the Lord. And that's a great blessing to have in our careers and our mission in life. But, well, thank you so much. Any last words for any student that's thinking about coming to the college in one of these programs, whether Quest at nighttime and online or in seat in the daytime? Any final words?
Well, I would say you don't know what you're missing until you get here. But if you want to have a conversation, you can find me and call me. I am happy to have a conversation and talk to you about what it means to be in the business department. I'd love to have opportunity to meet you and help you figure out what it is that God has called you to do.
Yeah, especially when you come to us campus previews, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. we'll have some on a Monday night sometimes mm-hmm. coming up soon mm-hmm. Where they can come to. If they're requested, they can come to a class. Mm-hmm. And past June, we'll be doing those. But in the spring and the fall, we always have campus meet and greets all the time. Yeah. And on those, we always end them with an ice cream social where they can meet the professor.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can't lose by having ice cream and meeting your
professor. Well, and they come in the class, and they get to experience a class, which is always fun. And
that's always open to anybody.
Yeah, always. Anytime you can come in, even if it's not campus preview time, just let us know so we know to expect you. And we'd love to have you come and just check it out and see if you're on the fence and not sure what you want to do. Come on in. I will tell you that a business degree is a good, solid, basic degree to have. You can do a whopping lot with a business degree.
I would say if someone wants to be a pastor today, I would think I would go business organizational with the pastoral.
With the church management.
Church management, yeah. And the reason why is chances are you're going to go to seminary. And you're going to get 45 credits in Bible and theology in your undergraduate and that degree anyway.
Yeah.
So that's, if you're going to go get a BA somewhere else, you're probably going to get about that anyway. So you're, to me, I'm looking at that degree thinking to myself, that makes a lot of sense. And then you go on for your master's and go to seminary.
And do all your seminary work. The key, one of the reasons why I started looking at org leadership was I saw a lack of managerial and leadership capabilities in church staff.
You're not kidding.
And I'm like, they're not given that. It's not their fault. It's the fault of our seminaries because they're not training in that place.
Right.
And so we said, well, we can do this. We can train them up to lead as well as parse scripture and all the other pieces that go with that. So there are lessons that you learn in leadership that you may or may not. And we use scripture to go along. For instance, in the intro to org leadership course, we walk through the book of Nehemiah because I don't think there's any better leadership model than Nehemiah.
That's
so
great.
We walk through that book and we talk through that as we're walking through the leadership theories, all the different theories. And they get to see that right in Nehemiah. It's hilarious because kids who've been in church for most of their lives will come in and they'll say, I never thought about reading the Bible with leadership in mind. I'm like, come on.
Yeah, I will tell you, we'll end with this today, but I had to do a, speak at a funeral recently for a friend of mine, passed away from COVID, last year, actually last August. And I was praying, God, give me direction for this people that lost a dad that was 51 years old. Mm-hmm. And they kept asking the same question. They kept asking, how are we going to do this without him? And then I remember Jesus on the cross. And he looks down to John and he goes, behold your mother, behold your son. Mm-hmm. And immediately I realized that the family are going to be there for this child that's mm-hmm. going to be great. You know, these uncles are going to be mm-hmm. taking the position of dad for this young boy. And it's amazing how if you seek the Lord and you seek his guidance and you're in business and you're in whatever you're in, you will find the wisdom and the answers from getting a Bible college degree. Versus, I mean, I'm not going to bash secular schools, but I do know you can't touch mm-hmm. the wisdom. You know, we both value biblical higher education, but mm-hmm. I think you just can't touch it. The problem solving skills and the level of having a biblical worldview will affect you in your business
and
your job. And we've had some great donors in this campus that are. Dr. James P. Gills, the greatest eye surgeon the world has probably ever known, has written many books on Bible and theology, and you know, all his Rory workbook is one of the best things I've ever read. Mm-hmm. And that guy is just full of the Word and full of Scripture. And I look at some of these businessmen that have been very successful, and women leaders that were Christians and believers, and the Word of God was so important to them. So we appreciate your time today.
Thanks for having me.
What a great conversation. We need to do this more times, and we need to bring in some students and have them in the next part of the next
one. That'd be fun.
And then maybe we'll get some freshmen and some seniors and sophomores. And
we'll laugh a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's all good. That's all good. Well, you have a blessed day. Thank you so much.
Thanks, John.
This has been the Trinity College of Florida podcast. I'm John Keller. Thank you for listening.